Hello to all Earth citizens, and welcome to my Conscious Coaching Podcast. This is Dr. Kianush, founder and creative director of MCCG. My Conscious Coaching Group is a non-political, non-religious 501c3 coaching nonprofit with initiatives in healthcare, leadership, and education, with focus on emotional and spiritual intelligence. Our vision is to raise self and global awareness for a conscious mind through educational application of EQ and SQ, and our mission is to connect, collaborate, and partner with hospitals, academics, colleges, and medical schools and organizations to embrace growth, self-healing, and self-coaching to achieve well-being and peak performance of individuals and the team as a one connected whole. Today, we have one of our nonprofit gifted board members, Dr. Irwan Nugent, and Universe brought us together in our journey of becoming better during our team coaching certification with LIA Learning in Action. Irwan is a wonderful teacher of emotional intelligence, and I love his educational videos on EI, and I share them all the time with my clients. We had also a webinar together for our recognized local healthcare system professionals before pandemic. I usually like to ask my guests to introduce themselves so not to miss important points in our very short time. So with that being said, hello, Dr. Irvine, and welcome to MCCG Podcast, and it is your home as well.
Oh, thank you so much, Kayunis. It's so wonderful to be with you and to have this opportunity to break bread and to chat a little bit on what I know is both of our passions.
Thank you so much, Irvine, for being here and being on our board. It's a pleasure to have you. So tell me a little bit about yourself. How do you like our audience know you, and what is important about you to know? What's your story, Irvine?
Oh, well, we only have a few minutes, so I'll do the condensed version. But I think part of my realization as I grow older is that I bring a wonderful cultural diversity. I was born in Northern Ireland, and I grew up there. And, you know, that really informed how I look at the world and really how I've responded to the needs of the world. I grew up at a time which is called the Troubles there. It was, you know, when society were really going through a war and had broken down and we had turned tribal. And so I grew up with that around me. And I think it placed in my heart a desire to really understand why does human communication break down? And how can we build up bridges instead of walls with each other? And that's really informed, you know, the choices I've made in the work that I do. In my present chapter of my life, I have my own business, and I really focus on emotional intelligence. And I do that in organizations and with the leadership structure. I'm really helping them grow in their emotional intelligence and really to understand the depth of connection that is needed by people today, and to really have that skill set. And it's beautiful work, and I think needed work in our world today.
It is a beautiful work, and as you mentioned, the needed work. I have your book actually in my hand right now. I'm holding it tight. Mm-hmm. And I love your picture standing behind, you know, like a bartender on the pub. And there is a little paragraph at the back of the book that I like to read it for our audience. It says that, you says that the leadership is a noble calling that requires courage. It is not for the faint of heart. Stepping forward and putting yourself on the line takes a toll. Success lies in going inward to explore and expand your emotional intelligence, which is the ability to recognize, understand, and manage your own emotions and the emotions of others. And the end result is thriving leaderships, which are at the core of the great leadership. And of course, it says this book was born out of a unique Irish wisdom, Irvine Nugent. And I love this book, Irvine. Just tell us that The book Leadership Lessons from the Pub. What does leadership has to do with the pub?
Well, it's a great question. So as I said, I grew up in Northern Ireland. I actually grew up in a pub. We lived above the pub, and the pub was below us. And it was a really interesting childhood and teenage life. My whole family were involved in that. And later on, as I worked in leadership, I became very curious about, you know, what's required in leadership today. And I thought about that experience of the pub. And it's very unique, especially in Ireland. And I was very curious about some of the amazing things that happened quite naturally in a pub. It is a place where people went, you know, and on the surface, you think, well, I'm just going to get a drink. But that's only the surface. Really, you know, what was happening in there was community, that people went in to make connections with each other. You know, if you ever go to a pub in Ireland, you're by yourself, you won't be by yourself for very long, because someone's going to sit next to you and start chatting and finding out who you are. And really what it is this beautiful bringing into the, widening the circle and bringing people into the community. And so I became curious about what is it that the pub can do? And what I found was that there's this natural place where people could go to belong, where people felt that they could be vulnerable. And at the head of the pub, you know, the bar owner or the bartender was a person of really deep emotional intelligence. They knew how to speak with people. They knew how to deal with people and their ups and their downs. And I said, you know, this really is a beautiful, beautiful image of leadership today, that how do we create spaces that are inclusive, that bring people in, that help people belong? And the calling of the leader as well to have a deep emotional intelligence to manage that space, to be the leader of that space and to create that space, which enables people to make those deep connections.
Wonderful. Now I understand your picture standing behind the pub, you know, and it's a great metaphor for the leaders also. So the leaders are kind of like the servant leaders, especially is a kind of like bartenders. They
absolutely
connect people and makes you feel belong. And the trust that is involved, you know, in that space, especially, you know, when you are sharing, you know, your conversation and your vulnerability, as you mentioned.
Absolutely.
So I know that you also have done extensive work in the Paul Ekman, you know, work area. What is important about his work in development of emotional intelligence?
You know, emotional intelligence as a term now is very widely known. But if you go back to the 1960s, for any psychologist to say, you know, I am going to devote my life's work to emotions, they would have been laughed out of the university. It just wasn't done. And so Paul Ekman was really one of the first pioneers of in-depth work on emotion, on affect, and really enabled, you know, the science of affect to grow and develop. He's also well known as someone who studied facial emotional expression. He was curious about, you know, are emotions just culturally based, different from one person, or can we say anything about emotions that are universal? And through his research, he found that there were 7 universal emotions. And this really was groundbreaking at the time. Many people disagreed with him. And over the course of his research, you know, they brought that to light. And so he's enabled a wonderful ability to help people to recognize emotional expression in other people's faces and to understand what that means and really to use it as a tool for better communication. And what's interesting too, you know, he's towards the end of his life now, but you know, towards the end, he also became very interested and struck up an amazing relationship with the Dalai Lama and really, you know, promoting worldwide compassion and how can we understand compassion and concern for the world and using emotion really to help build bridges and worldwide compassion. So for me, he's been an inspiration, and I really think without his groundbreaking work, you know, what we've come to know as emotional intelligence might not have happened as quickly as it did. And I really think he paved the way for the science we have now today.
Yeah, such a wonderful work and gift, you know, he's sharing with the world. And you just mentioned, you know, that optimism also in his work. And before we get into that, you mentioned the body language. So that from his work is the body language. We always knew how important is our body language and our body talks even before we talk. And I guess that's an area we can focus on more related to emotional intelligence, how our emotions are appearing in our bodies.
Absolutely. You know, our emotions are so quick. and they are quicker than we are consciously aware of. And so when we respond to whatever triggers we have in our lives, the emotion shows, and it shows clearest in our face, but also shows in our bodies. And to really to be so curious about this human person that communicates in their depth, not just in the words they use, but also in the way that their body shows up. And it's so beautiful to have insight into that and to really see the totality of the person in front of us and the different ways and the different channels that they're communicating. You know, the words we use is only one channel. We also can see the facial expression, their body language, the vocal tone. All of that really adds to the richness of communication.
Exactly. Our voice, our energy, the energy we put in, you know, in our voice. Mm. And we know that from the feedback, if you live with somebody, we know that better, you know, because sometimes, sure. Yeah, we are pretending that we are okay, but, you know, our partner knows that you are sad. But we say, no, I'm okay. But they know because they are watching our body language and they are just they get the clue. And it's interesting if you see that at the same moment in front of the mirror, you see the clue also. But we don't pay attention usually that what our body is.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I know for me, you know, when my husband comes home, I know within a few seconds if it's been a good or a bad day.
I know. I know
just from the energy and just from the way that the body's being reported into the house, you know, and you just pick it up. And it's such so wonderful to know that because it just, you know, it's a mental note. Okay, it's been a difficult day. And I need to be sensitive to that. And I think that's such a gateway to strengthened relationships.
Exactly. And it's also important in the coaching practice. That's exactly that how we can pick up the energy from the body language of our client. I mean, especially in our in-person meeting. I mean, it's kind of a little hard through the Zoom, you know, and the virtual space, but we also still can get some clues from the body language and facial expression.
Absolutely.
And Irvine, tell me, I mean, how does optimism work in the work of Paul Ekman or in your work that with your experience? Where does it stand?
I think we're in an interesting space in the world of leadership at the moment. I think we have never been in more challenging times. That's why, you know, you read the introduction to my book in the back and I talk, you know, leadership is a noble calling because we live in times of increased pace, of complexity, of constant change. I think we live in quite a negative world where, you know, all we hear is bad news and what's happening. And I think to be a leader today requires you to be an optimist. I think leadership is about setting a vision and calling people towards that vision. And therefore, I think that requires a level of optimism, which is able to acknowledge where we're at in the world, but also to call people to something higher and something better. And that, humanity is capable of better. Humanity is capable of more. And our team is capable of better. Our team is capable of more. And I think as a leader, I think they have to do everything possible to really cultivate, that optimistic sense because We know from our emotional intelligence that our emotions are contagious. And so if the only thing we're sowing at work is anxiety or fear, people will pick that up. But the wonderful thing is we also pick up positive emotion too. And so people pick up our optimism. They pick up the reality that we have trust and faith and going towards a vision. And I think that's really essential in leadership today.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. They pick up, you know, all the negative and the positive emotion at the same time. The emotions are contagious, same as our calmness. So that's why I really try to go to my coaching session, especially, you know, with the leaders or, I mean, anyone that I have as a client to bring my calming presence. So no matter what I had before that, as you mentioned, it's contagious, both positive and negative emotions.
Yeah.
And I always say, you know, use this metaphor that the leadership is like fixing the airplane while you is flying. So the positivity exactly is needed. So you have to believe that you are taking this airplane, you know, and landed perfectly somewhere.
Yes.
But being that said, we also know about something And they're called toxic positivity. What do you think about that? How we can balance or even defer, in difficult and challenging situation? Is this a toxic positivity or this is just a needed positivity for a leadership, purpose? And how do you defer these two and balance that?
Yeah, it's such a great question, because I think in people's minds, they feel like the optimistic person is the person that's, constantly up, constantly happy, and really he doesn't acknowledge, kind of that perhaps a disaster is coming. And I think, the true optimism in the sense of, with emotional balance is a person that is able to hold that the future is possible and recognize and be present in the reality here and now. So, a leader has to create a space. And part of that space is, I believe, a sense of belonging and vulnerability that we can acknowledge where we're at here today. And it doesn't necessarily mean that we're constantly up, we're constantly happy. It's acknowledging the beauty of our emotion where we're at today. So to acknowledge our anger, to acknowledge our fear, to acknowledge the struggle, and to make a space where other people are able to name and acknowledge those emotions as well. And to let people be in their emotion. However, you can still do that and call people to an optimistic future, to call people to human potential, to call people towards an ability to reach beyond, and in that struggle as well comes new insight. Very often some of our best thinking, some of our best ideas come after a dark night, come after a struggle. And I think I got that from growing up in Northern Ireland. I grew up at the age of six. I talk about this in the book, that we went through a terrorist bombing. We lost our home, we lost our pub. And my father had this great ability to acknowledge the suffering that we're going through, but still be resilient and point to the fact that we will get through this, and it will be difficult, but we're able to do this. And I think that's the constant calling of the human person, to be present and to be optimistic.
Yeah, so wonderfully you put it into the words, Irfan. And I always says, we grow through our suffering. And we have this Persian poet Rumi says that the wound is the place where the light enters. So, and we grow through our challenges. And while we are getting the lessons and the clues and the information of our emotions, negatives or positives, we are optimistic to our a vision and a goal that we set for ourselves. Thank you so much. So we are getting toward the end of our conversations, but I just wanted to ask you, except that our audience can find you through our website and Founder tab and hopefully upcoming educational tab we are setting for our website, how they can know more about you, where they can find your video, buy your books, and a little bit, just more information for finding more contact information or your videos or anything else that they should know about you.
Yeah, probably the best place is just go to my website, which is my name, irvinnugent.com. And there you'll
That's it.
find the book is there. You'll find, I have a podcast as well, which comes out every 2 weeks called Resilient Leadership. There's a YouTube channel, which you can type in my name as well. And there's videos there in emotional intelligence, but everything is there. And I feel free to reach out to me as well. Always love, connecting with people on LinkedIn and sharing ideas about emotional intelligence and leadership.
That's wonderful. And we also are going to put a referral link from in our website to yours also and your videos too in our upcoming website. Thank you so much, Irvine. Being that said, wishing you well and thank you again for being here today with us.
My pleasure. Thank you for the invitation.
Goodbye to our listeners. And remember, one podcast at a time. Thank you for being with us for another one. You can visit our website at myconscious.org to learn more about us or write to us at coach@myconscious.org. And please stay connected by following us on our social media platforms, LinkedIn, Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter, not to miss our upcoming episodes and events. Love and light from all of us to you. Make it a great day, everyone.